what to say about Documenta, especially Documenta seen in the course of one very hectic day, because it's an exhibition which you could spend a week at or 2 weeks looking at. There are the two main sites, the Documenta Halle and the Frederiksneum, and then there are all these ancillary sites in the park, which is this aristocratically laid out gigantic formal garden with a lot of wild areas in it. There are all these little huts and ancillary houses and things, and then in the town of Kassel itself, many buildings are hosting exhibits. The most impressive thing in the whole show for me was Tino Segal, whose work I've seen a couple of times before, but read more about than seen. It was the thing he did in the Berlin Biennial 2002, which was just a couple in a Ballhaus on Auguststrasse embracing, lying on the ground, kissing for the whole duration of the show. And then there was a piece he had at the Venice Biennale, which was the guards jumping up and down and saying, "This is so contemporary, this is so contemporary." And there was a room in which people were engaging, actors were engaging the viewers in discussions about philosophy. So there was one element of that which carried over into this current installation, which takes place in a darkened room. You walk into it, at least, and it seems completely dark, but your eyes start to adjust, and the longer you spend in there, the more you see. There are actually very dim lights recessed around the ceiling, which actually at one point the lights come on entirely just for a second and then go off again, and you're in a room in a dark room with about 20 actors. I think there are 40 totally engaged in the show, but they take shifts, and they are making a kind of a cappella music, all of them singing, doing different parts. So as you move around in the room, as you walk around, you're getting a different mix. You might hear the hi-hats, you might hear the guy doing the bass drums, you might hear some singing. At one point they divided into two groups, almost like being in a... It was like being in a production of Hair or West Side Story or something, but in a totally dark room. So you're constantly slightly worried that someone's going to slam into you, but it never quite happens, because they're dancing very vigorously. The rhythms of this piece are amazing. It goes from very quiet, contemplative, to very loud and ecstatic. And there are also moments where there's just talking, and people, it's like a therapy session. People are all sitting on the ground. Somebody starts talking about jealousy, for instance. "I'm really worried that I'm jealous. This has been bugging me that I really hate other people's achievements," blah, blah, blah. They go on like this. And then someone else will start talking, and they talk about theories of economy. Is work the same thing as money? Other people say no, no. It's like a, mostly in English, but some in German, it's like a very serious little therapy session, group therapy session. And then suddenly somebody will start doing a little hi-hat figure or a bass line, and the music will start again, and they'll jump up, and the dynamic will return to the musical one. And it was actually very enchanting to be in there. There was a certain relaxing quality it had, but also a kind of enchanting mesmeric quality. And I was rather jealous that I hadn't made this artwork myself, because I guess it comes out of the relational aesthetics school, so-called, that I'd also done some work in. Another piece like that was by Michael Portnoy, who's a friend of mine, who has built an enormous earth mound inside which there's a kind of... it's a bit like the wall of death that motorcycles ride around in fairs. He's made a kind of strange ritual environment in there with a steeply bulged floor. The audience is selected outside as they assemble at the start time, handed these little discs and ushered in with strange... They're called glisks. I can't remember the word for them. Everything is a strange vocabulary. It's as if you're in a game show on an alternative universe. And you're... Three people are selected to form two teams and stand at two daises. Everything's painted a kind of lurid lilac shade. Michael and his partner, who's a slender woman, they're both wearing cutaway suits with strange windows looking into the back or the sides of their legs, their backs. They organise you and make the two teams compete. We have to come up with... the first challenge was to come up with something political for this dome or something like that. So my team, we decided we were going to put the treasure back into King Arthur's mountain, but we were going to do that in not only hiding the treasure but hiding the language. So I was the spokesman and I said, we will restore King Arthur's treasure, obscurity to his mountain. And then Michael Portnoy quizzed me, what do you mean, can you elaborate on that? And I just said obscurity, and with that answer we won. And then there was a second round with different teams, and then the winner of the first round came back in the third round. So our team came back, and the second time, in the third round, our challenge was to something to do with the carbon. There are these little sculptures that are standing on the dais. So I said, well, okay, we should say these are the fossils of a fox. But instead of saying fossil, we should say it's the fossibility, because it's the possibility of a fossil. So we explained that and won the third round and overall the whole game show, which was fairly exhilarating. And, what else was there? There were so many films. There was a film by the Autolith Group about the Japanese nuclear situation. There was a I'm trying to think, it's all blurred out. There was a very good piece by a guy called, I think it's Gerald Byrne, somebody Byrne, sounds like an Irish artist, in which a group of the SFL group, consisting of I think Breton, Quenot, Perec, the Huilipo people, but they crossing over with some surrealist membership too. They're sitting around rather elegantly discussing sexual intercourse and how you know a woman has had her orgasm and this kind of thing. But it's intercut between several screens where the action is shot from different angles, and then the screens are angled at the angles of the cameras, as it were, and then you have to kind of follow it around a very large room, which happened to be in the basement of a hotel. I mean, that's one of the interesting things about it, just wandering around. There was a good little hut in the middle of the park dedicated to alternative economic theories. The economic correspondence of Ezra Pound, for instance, copies of that lying around. I didn't know that W.J. Sebald had also written some a book about destruction, the economics of destruction, or the philosophy of destruction. So, just endless. And for me, art is the thing that does not have to justify itself. It's everyday life which has to justify itself for its repetition and its humdrum and timid quality. Art is always entirely self-evidently useful for me, because it's always presenting other possibilities and giving you new sensations. And moving through an exhibition like Documenta, an event like Documenta, I just get a sense of art's radicalness, because it's constantly offering new ways to live, new thoughts about life. Of course a lot of it is dull. I mean, of course you could dismiss 70% of the material in a big exhibition like that. I walk through it very quickly. I'm glad it's there, but there are, I don't know, some welcome mats with some words cut into them. There was a room full of very quickly executed sketches and interesting mottos like "You sneeze, I sneeze, which of us is right?" I think one of them said. So one of the things I do is just, if I see interesting things, I just take pictures of them. You're allowed to take pictures without flash, so I just move through getting the pictures of the material, which then, I don't know, percolates into my work in some way, or makes me think about the world in a different way. They do say that experiences make you happier than objects, and for me the ultimate experience, tantamount to a drug experience really, is to consume art in these, especially these sorts of events, not the commercial art fairs like Basel. Basel was just ending when I arrived in Basel just before my show in Zurich, and to find that the Basel commercial art fair had finished the day before. But I'm not interested in the more glitzy gallery end of things. I'm interested in what curators put together in these publicly funded events. They are also generally very rich countries that put these together. You couldn't imagine... Well, I mean, these happen in places like Istanbul too, but they're very much a prestige thing that the state decides to fund, and the Germans and the Austrians in particular have a lot of money from the state still for art, no matter what euro crisis we might seem to be in. This stuff is expensive. Michael Portnoy was talking about the construction costs of his little wheel of death, and it took a long time to build, and they had a specialist in an earth specialist who made a structure of wattle, wood boards, wattle, straw, earth, concrete. This stuff does not grow on trees, as Laurie Anderson put it. So so much more stuff that I haven't even described, but for me a kind of secular, non-psychedelic drug experience, I guess, is the best way to sum it up.